Happy Friday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. It's a Mike and Scott show, and today it's another trip report because Scott went to Walt Disney World for spring break with his family, stayed at Coronado Springs. We talk about his favorite time of the year, which is Flower and Garden Festival down at Walt Disney World. He gives some tips for dining at Walt Disney World, Keys to the Kingdom tour. He talks about his love of Coronado Springs and a great place to grab breakfast that you might not have ever thought about. A crazy story about trying to get to the Magic Kingdom when there is a huge traffic jam on World Drive. And let's face it, we just talk about fun Walt Disney World memories for about 50 minutes. We're taking you there today with some fun Disney talk. Don't forget, our show is brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. We'd love to help you plan the next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, or Adventures by Disney Vacation for no additional cost to you. That's right, costs you nothing extra, and you get many little booking bonuses as well. So check out all the details today over at themagicforless.com. Please also use our Amazon affiliate link when you shop online. That one extra click supports everything we do throughout the year. Please use our link at brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And thank you so much for our Patreon supporters. You guys make all these shows possible. Couldn't do it without you. And we'd love to have your support this week. Come on over. Just $5 a month and you'll get a bonus show every week. It's called Mike in the Midwest. We'd love to have you. Come on over. Patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 2477 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Friday to you. Hope you're having a great week and we're wrapping it up. It is Fajita Friday. We're going to have that kind of Southwest feel on today's show because we're hopping in right away. It's been a Mike and Scott week all week, and we're keeping it going right here because Scott is going to be the star of the show. We had Simon with a trip report on Monday. We got Scott doing a trip report here on a Friday. We're headed to Coronado Springs. We're talking spring break. Your friend and mine, hashtag Scotty G, kicking it here, wrapping the week up. Scott, what's going on?
Happy Friday, Mike. Happy to be here. Happy to talk about Coronado Springs, a place that you and I have been to frequently and a place that we really love. So happy to spend some time, spending 30, 40 minutes, whatever it is, talking about a great trip that we had over spring break.
So let me just drop some mental pictures. Just now, this is the worst thing to ever do on a podcast, right? Because it's going to be like things that'll crack you and I up. But if you know, you know, right? So we've had lots of fun times at Maya Grill with margarita flights and fajitas many times. There was a Star Wars weekend where we all crashed in a room. And dude, not enough beds. And I had a friend that I used to teach across the hall from. And I was like, dude, I'm not sharing a bed with you. So you ended up sharing a bed with one of my friends that I used to teach school with. You did. That was
funny thing. Offer to sleep in his truck.
That's true. Like that. I rented a white pickup because came by on my Instagram stories the other day, or memories on Google the other day. And I was like, what's that white pickup? I was like, oh, yeah, I rented a white pickup that weekend. Had a bed. And it was nice out that night. And by the way, we didn't get out because we had to divide our check. And by the way, if you know, Maya Grill is the worst restaurant. Now, I love Maya Grill. It's in my top three for Walt Disney World. I love this place. However, this has to be on God's earth the worst place to ever divide a check between parties. Like so you go there with your friends and you say, we're going to split this check between four different groups, like four cards. You are going to be there for another 2 hours. Because that night it was Star Wars race. I swear it took 2 hours off our sleep that night. I'm raising my hand.
And that
to
was
God.
When they changed the time for the Run Disney start. I mean, that one was, it was starting like 2 hours after we were done.
Yes. We had to wake up. I was like, forget it. I'm just staying up. Like at that point, basically. Because we had to divide car, but it was, yeah.
I had a theory on that too. Cause I mean, it is true. I mean, Walt Disney World in general is kind of challenging to split checks, I've learned, but especially at Maya Grill. And I wonder if it's because of the conventioners, if they're used to like someone like just one person from their company charging the company.
I should have charged it to the Magic for less. I mean, Pam's not here today.
We'll talk to Pam about that. Yeah.
You know, she's not here. I should have put on the TMFLT tab. But if we only had that, you know, that'd be nice. I've never seen the corporate card come out, but it'd be nice if we had one.
You got the guy from the Midwest card, though, so you could use that.
I do. See, I'll tell Pam I'll use my old man in the Midwest card and get 10% off and then, you know, get the old Magic for Less Platinum going.
So if you're not feeling at the fajitas tonight, they might bring out your Taco Bell order instead.
Pam be more like Taco Bell, maybe, if you're also ordering off the value menu. Anyway, Coronado, though, we love this place. I'm excited to hear about your trip. So you were down, it's been about a month at this point. So let's hear about the trip.
Yeah, it was actually a month from the day of recording. It was May 22nd that we flew down. A lot of this I've already shared, so I'll try not to repeat a lot of stuff. But we flew out of Indianapolis mostly to just save some big bucks. It was either going to be fly out of Indianapolis or drive. And I know you've done the drive from St. Louis for many years before you started flying. We have not done that drive. And I feel like it would be fun to drive down, right? You can stop. That's you're like true. Excited. You got this great energy about this vacation that's coming up. But it's the drive home that I kept thinking about that. Like, that's just going to be so brutal. And I'm not going to want to do that.
Well, so I was saving this because I knew we'd talk about this on the show. You were saving money by flying out of Indianapolis because your theory on this was that the places you were looking to fly out of initially, they were all spring break times. Yeah. And so they were jacking up the prices. But you think that in Indianapolis, it was not spring break that week, so the prices were more reasonable. So you're saving a lot of money. So well-laid plans for saving this money. You thought, not bad to take this drive. So right. Now looking back in hindsight, is it something you would do again to drive 3 hours or so each way to save what you saved? Is this something? Was it worth it?
Yeah, 100% was worth it.
Okay.
Yep, it totally was. And for us, like, Detroit is still like an hour and a half away from us, and Indy was 4 hours. So it was 2.5 hours each way. So call it 5 extra hours. And if you break it down, like, I wasn't going to break down the math by any means, but like, it was a significant value. One ticket out of Detroit basically covered the three that were flying out of Indianapolis. Wow. I mean, it was a massive savings. And like, we like driving, we like road tripping. I will say, I mean, the drive to Indy for us is super easy. It's just one, I mean, the freeway right next to my house is 69, and you take 69 all the way to the airport, basically. So we don't even have to, like, get off a freeway. Like, it's the same one. And so, I mean, it can get kind of boring a little bit, but, like again, like, we were in good spirits. So, like, driving those 4 hours were way better than driving 16, 17, 18 hours, you know. So we found it worth it. And it's cool to check out other airports. I love airports. So it's fun to check that out.
Yeah.
NCAA men's basketball tournament was happening that day, and like Purdue was playing. So there are a lot of like Purdue fans in the airport. It was just kind of cool, like watching all that.
Do you have Emily drive some of the way?
We thought about it.
I was going to say, because now we have extra drivers, right? Take advantage.
Yeah, exactly. I thought about having her drive, but she just wanted to chill.
Yeah.
That's the way she put it.
That's why I didn't want her to drive, so I can chill. But yeah.
But. So about this, so this is really funny. I won't go into too much detail, but at work that day, I had to do this like aviation like thing where there was like an aviation accident and we had to figure out like how we were going to recover as a company. And I'm like, oh, that's great. And now I'm going to go like fly on a plane later tonight.
Oh, really? Are you kidding me?
No I'm way. Not kidding you.
Oh
yeah.
My God.
That's so that nice. Was like, so like I'm on the plane and I'm just like looking over everything. I'm asking like the flight attendant like all these questions about like the scenario we just had.
I'm back.
It was just kind of funny.
I'm back. I can't do this. I got to call in sick.
Yeah. So I worked that day. Liz and I both worked. That tells you how late the flight was because we had a 4 hour drive and we worked. So we landed like well past midnight. I remember I took a photo right at midnight as we were like kind of hovering over Orlando. So, and the logistics, right? You got to get on the monorail, got to get your bags, get the rental car. It takes a little bit. And this is midnight. I mean, I know it was spring break, but Mike, the airport, you would have thought it was like 2 p.m. It was packed.
Did that shock you? I mean, were you expecting a dead airport? And you got there,
I was
and you
expecting
were like,
a dead airport because I've done it a couple times where I've flown in late. It must not have been spring break. I was blown away. I was like worrying, like, oh my gosh, are we even going to get a rental car at this point? But the rental car was super easy to get. And it was like 1 a.m. basically when we pulled into Coronado, and I hadn't gotten a text yet about our room, which is kind of funny.
At that time of night, that would worry me. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because I know Disney has people checking in 24 hours a day, right? It's Walt Disney World, world destination. But I would still, as being somebody from the Midwest, like I'd be like, dude, do they know still I'm coming? You know, do they think I've skipped out?
Exactly. But I wanted to talk to the front desk anyway, because this stay had us on 2 different reservations, same room category, mm-hmm. same resort. But I just wanted to like stay in the same room. And I called them ahead of time too and asked them, can you do whatever it takes? You know, we're coming in late, so take all the time you need all day, right, to figure it out. But if we can stay in the same room, went to the front desk. They were super cool about it. I also asked to be in casitas because I've been in ranchos a lot, and I love ranchos at Coronado. They had the ranchos, there's cabanas, right, and casitas, and then you got the main tower. And they put me in casitas 4, which is exactly what I want, Mike. So it was awesome. So we got to keep the same room for both reservations, casitas 4. I mean, the trip is just starting off so great. We get to the room, it's on the first floor, it's a corner room, and it's right by the casitas quiet pool. Like, it's a pool view room. I was 32 steps from the pool entrance, Mike, from our door.
Yeah, you are, because again, we talked about this earlier, but I'm by my friends. I was like, dude, you're in the same room I was in, like for the trip.
Right by like the fitness center right there.
Yeah, you're close. Yeah, it's a great location. I was like, you scored. Okay, so you get there middle of the night. So I'm sure that like to kick off your trip, you don't go hard immediately, right? Because you got to recover. I mean, that's a lot, because you worked and traveled. I mean, that's a long day just to get there.
So we actually did unpack that night because, you know, we're unpackers. So we knew we had this room. So and you did all that traveling. So we clean up, we unpack, probably didn't go to bed till like 2 o'clock, honestly, because like 1 o'clock when we checked in. So we didn't have like any really big plans that day, especially in the morning, except going to Sanaa for lunch. That was our big thing. Like, we got to go to Sanaa. So we went to Sanaa, and then we went to Target to get our our sodas and waters and things for the week. So it was a very chill morning, which is exactly what we needed after a long day of travel. And again, we're annual pass holders. We don't need to be rope dropping every single day. So just kind of took it easy, went to Animal Kingdom Lodge, went to Target. And then I believe we made our way to like the studios that day. And it was surprisingly not that busy, Mike. I couldn't believe it. I was blown away.
I do remember because, you know, we communicate throughout this trip, like you're always texting me pictures and, you know, we talk and stuff, and like, you were like, oh, it's not that crowded, but I mean, things will change.
Things might change. But yeah. So we're coming back from Target, and Liz is like doing like the, you know, we got the app open, you know, you can filter to the theme park. And she's like, so she's asking me like, guess the wait times, you know, we even do that at home, like over dinner and stuff like that. It's just kind of fun to do. And like, I couldn't believe it. Like, where Rise of the Resistance was like 50 minutes. This is like 3 p.m.
That's crazy.
Like Tower of Terror, 30 minutes. Like, what is happening? So we went over there, and Slinky Dog, I think, was like 75 minutes. I was like, let's just do Slinky Dog. You know, like, we love this attraction. We don't do it every trip because we don't want to wait necessarily. And like, this is as fresh as we're going to be this whole trip. You know, we slept in. It's the first day. Like, we could stand in a long line. This is as good as we're going to be. Mike, it was less than 30 minutes.
And that's good, because you were in the daytime Slinky Dog.
Yeah.
Spring break. Like, you don't want to be in that line for 75 minutes if you can help it.
Right. Yeah. So it was awesome. And then, you know, us, we're like, well, we're in the studios for a couple hours, did some good things, snacked a little bit. And like, hey, let's go back to the resort, you know, swim for a little bit before our Maya Grill dinner. And we were just talking about how much we love Maya Grill, man. And Wade and I were just talking about this the other day. Like, it might be like one of like the best like dinner experiences at Walt Disney World. And I think it gets overlooked so much, but the atmosphere is great. You got the, what we call like our smooth jazz guitar guy, you know,
so many pictures of him.
Yeah. The menu is good. Like, I love like the vaulted ceilings in there. You know, it's just like this like tall space. It's just great, great cocktails, great food. And I think it's like a really affordable price for what you're getting there. So yeah.
It's not much more.
I want every listener to start making Maya Grill reservations, but I think you should give it a shot, especially if you're at Coronado. It's a no-brainer, but I think it's worth the trip over to Coronado to eat at Maya Grill.
It absolutely is, and you also have Three Bridges there. The thing is, the dining at Coronado is a reason to stay there. But then on top of that, the rooms at Coronado are excellent, because you don't have to stay in the tower. You're going to get a great room because they've been recently refurbished. The pool at Coronado, which we're going to talk about. I mean, I hate to jump on this, but I mean, the Digside pool is amazing. It's got a great poolside bar with some hot items to enjoy. It's got a great running area. It's got two gyms. I mean, this, you got Barcelona Lounge, which you'll talk about. Let's just talk about Coronado. I mean, Coronado rocks. I mean, it's like, I cannot turn away from this because it, in the price point, it's the best value right now, I think.
I think it is. I know a lot of people are like, well, it's missing the Skyliner, you know, because like people love that about Caribbean Beach, but like, I don't, and maybe they'll expand the Skyliner someday. Who knows, right? Like,
it would be bonkers. If that had the Skyliners, it'd be bonkers because it would then be a deluxe. I mean, it would have to be
because it almost feels deluxious right now. That's not really a word, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
but yeah, so let's talk a little about Coronado. Like, if you're into like lounges and hanging out, like there's like 6 or 7 different lounges. Like, it's unreal. Like, you got Three Bridges, you got Barcelona, you got I can't think of the name of it right now, the place by Toledo.
Toledo.
Yep. There's a lounge right there. Yeah. You got Rick's. You got that little like margarita stand, or that little, you know, the thing like on the pier kind of like where they have like the boat rentals and stuff. There's a lounge right there too. Like, it's just loaded with great entertainment and food offerings. Like, it's so awesome. We spent a lot of time at Barcelona Lounge. Got to know Benji and some of the servers over there. Like, they were fantastic, great drink selection. And we would just hang out there, Mike, and just chat and play games. Like, and you know, it's funny, like how our Disney vacations have evolved to that.
Right.
Like, you know, and it's just, and those are some of the memories I remember the most, where we're just hanging out, relaxing, not worrying about, you know, what rides we're going to do and shows like that. We just talk as a family because which we do a lot. The three of us spend a lot of time together. We really do. But like, it's just fun to like slow down at our favorite place in the world and just like catch up on like what's been happening in life. I mean, I can't explain it fully, but those are just the best memories for me.
No, I agree, because like, you guys played cards there for quite a while down the Barcelona Lounge, and you had a story that you shared. We've talked about it, but I mean, you briefly maybe recap it. But the thing is, like, trip one or trip two of your Disney like story, like when you first go, you consider that wasted time. Like, I'm wasting time at the resort playing cards. Now, best memories ever. You're making.
I think our friend Craig in the Discord said it perfectly once. He's like, When I'm at the resort, I'm not concerned about necessarily missing like rides and all that. But when I'm at the theme parks, I'm concerned about missing the pool time and like all the leisure time. It's kind of,
but
like,
it flip flops. But early on, like your first few trips, you're like, if you're at the resort, you're constantly having FOMO of like what's going on at the parks. And then at some point it flips.
It just changes for you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think both are great. I think it's great to have a balance of that, which is
agreed.
Which we tried to do on this trip. But yeah, so we played cards at Barcelona. We talked about it on the live show. I'll briefly bring it up again, though, that, you know, I love how the characters will stop at the resorts. And I think those are some of the best character interactions there are, because it reminds me of Disneyland a little bit, how they're so approachable. You know, you can just kind of go up to them. I know they still have a handler and whatnot, but like, they're just full of energy. Everyone's having a great time taking selfies. You can have the handler take a photo with you, or a family behind you. It's just so much fun. And we're playing cards, and I heard this like do-do-do-do-do, like this bang noise. And I'm like, and we're sitting by this door that says like cast member. So I'm just waiting for this door to open. I thought they were just knocking on the door to let you know, hey, the door's going to swing open. But it never swung open, Mike. And then I hear the do-do-do-do-do again. And I'm like, what is that noise? And I look up, and it's Dale, like from Chippendale, just looking down and just like waving at us while we're playing cards. So I'm like, hey, how's it going? Then all of a sudden he starts like signaling what like Beth and Elizabeth's cards were, and he was spot on.
He's a shark.
He'd go like 3-2 times to make a six, and then he'd like draw a heart, like six of hearts, and then sure enough, Elizabeth has six of hearts in her hand. It was unreal. And this went on, I kid you not, because I took a photo of it when it started, and then we took a selfie at the very end, and there's like a 10 to 15 minute like gap between that. Like, this went on for almost 15 minutes. I mean, I don't know if like the lobby was like empty and no one was wanting to see Dale, but like I think he was just blowing everyone off and just like focusing all his attention on our card game. Like those interactions are just priceless, Mike. It was just so cool. And I mean, I know it's only been a month, but I'm going to be talking about that one for a really, really long time.
Well, I mean, sure. Dale is now doing 7 to 10 years for gambling in the Florida penal system, but it was worth it. Yeah. You know?
Card shark for sure. But yeah, but yeah. So a cool thing about Barcelona too. So they actually have breakfast there, which I didn't know.
I didn't know this. Like, you guys were getting like full on breakfast sandwiches. Yeah. I had no idea. Yeah.
So, and the good thing is if you're the rope dropper, right? Like, we were talking about that on like Chris's family. I think they were talking about that on Wednesday's show, like rope dropping for early entry and all that. Like, it's hard to sometimes stop for breakfast because you're waking up really early for some of these, especially right. if it's Animal Kingdom. But they're open at 6 a.m. and you can get like their specialty coffees, and they have like croissant sandwiches, and they're like really good. So that was kind of like our go-to, right? Like, if you wanted to wake up early in the day, like, we would skip. What's the name of the like El counter service?
El Mercado.
El Mercado. Yeah. So we'd skip that sometimes and just do Barcelona Lounge instead for breakfast because it was nice and quick and relatively like good price, and you get those specialty coffees too. So just throwing that out there, and you can snack there too. Like, we did a charcuterie board one day when we were playing cards and all that. So don't just think of that as like a lounge to like to get drinks, because not everyone's into drinking, right? Like, we don't all have to have a cocktail, but they have some like specialty like non-alcoholic drinks, and they have some food offerings too to consider.
It's a beautiful place too, and if you got to get some work done, that's a great place to get work done. Because some people have to work, you know, check in every once in a while with your laptop. Great place to work.
For sure. I know I could go like super long about this trip, but there's one more thing I did want to talk about the Coronado, and that is the pools. You know, we love the pools. So.
Absolutely. Yeah, you are the swimmer. You and Ariel.
I love my quiet pools. Like, we were right there at Casitas 4, as I mentioned. That is like the pool building, basically. And we spent every day in that pool.
Yes.
And we would play cards poolside. It was kind of, I mean, it wasn't like cold, but it wasn't like blazing hot. When we went to the pool, it seemed like, so there'd always be this breeze. So it felt kind of cold sometimes, but it was just so nice to hop in there, even just for like a few seconds, right? Just to cool down a little bit. And I'd even go there at night. There would be times where we came back from the parks late and I'm walking to the room and I see there's no one in the pool. Like, I'm just going to throw my trunks on and just go swim a few laps. Then like, boom, 30 steps later, I'm back in my room. It was so awesome.
It's so funny because Simon said that the pools were too warm.
Really?
Pop Century. Yeah, this is like one of his things. Those pools were too warm. They're just bath water.
He would have liked what was happening here.
So we're like booking in the week with the water temperatures. Yeah. That's so funny.
But I do recommend, if anyone can swing it, if you got a long trip especially, to try to do like a full-on pool day. At least start with a pool day. And we did that one day in the trip. We're like, all right, the dig site opens at, I can't remember if it was like 9 or 10. Let's just say it was 9 o'clock. And like, let's just go to the dig site right at 9 o'clock, get some chairs, and we'll have breakfast. We'll have lunch at the pool, you know, have a couple of cocktails. It's going to be a fun pool day. And I remember, Mike, I don't know if you remember this too, like the dig site, I recall back in the day when they would open it up for the day, they'd have the kids like go in by like where the pyramid is, and they would like do this chant or something. And then like the water, but they're like opening up the water gods, and like the water would start coming down. Like, I don't know if I imagined that.
No, they did. Like, it was the waterfall would start like down the thing.
Exactly. So I was telling Emily, like, oh, we got to get there, like right at a rope drop so that we can like, so we can open up the pool with the water. So we get there and like the gate, you can picture like where the food stand is and the bar, like we're entering at that gate. There's like 12, 15 people already waiting to like get in the pool, and they have not unlocked it yet. I'm like, wow. All right, we're not the only ones that
you're gonna be throwing elbows for a chair for a lounger.
Exactly, because that's just like on one side, because there's different gates, right?
Yeah.
And then so I'm telling the story about like, oh yeah, they're like, once they let us in, you know, we're gonna like opening, we're gonna summon the gods to start the water. Exactly. That's what I'm doing. I'm actually doing that. My back is to like the pool, and I'm telling her. And then Liz is like, Scott,
the water's gone. I mean, we're dads, dude. That happens. That's how it goes.
But I mean, it was cool. So like, we weren't actually in the pool area yet, but like, it was kind of cool to still see the water start.
Yeah.
And then they gave the all clear for us to come in, and like, we got our chairs, you know? And then we went to, I don't necessarily encourage this, like to like save a seat, but we're like, we had to get some breakfast. So we put our stuff down quick, got our breakfast, came back to eat at poolside, and all the chairs are full, Mike. Like, it took like 20 minutes for all the chairs to be full. Isn't that nuts?
See, that is okay. And I sing the praises of Coronado constantly, but when they built that tower, I mean, that resort was built, you know, with a capacity for that feature pool without the tower. And that tower added a ton of rooms. Like, they almost need to add a secondary feature pool.
I think we talked about that before, too. Yeah, I've blown away that they did not add another pool.
Right.
I know maybe conventioners don't go to the pool, but like, no, there's still families staying in that tower.
It's mostly families. They need a second feature pool. I mean, it's okay. I mean, you know, nobody's getting hurt by it, but I mean, you know, the early bird's going to get the loungers and some people are going to get left out. This is how
part of that could just be of a spring break, too.
True.
Right?
And
we've seen this at other pools too. Like we saw last summer at the Grand Floridian, like you had to be there right at rope drop for the pool basically to get a chair. So that's kind of what I'm saying. My point of the story is like the pool is great. I love the dig site. I love the food options. You got the bar there. It's just the Jaguar slide is one of my favorite slides.
You were tearing it up that day, I think.
I was, man. I raced some kids. So before we went to get that sandwich, I was like, oh, I got to cool off because I was hot already. I was like from standing out there. I was like, I got to get in the slide. And I was racing like some 8-year-olds to get up there. Like I pulled a hamstring, Mike. They got the best of me. But I was probably number 3 or 4 to go down the slide. That's
why we love Scotty G, dude. He pulled a hamstring racing an 8-year-old in the Jaguar slide at Coronado Springs.
It was worth it, man. It was so much fun.
Love it.
But yeah, so if I recommend to do a pool day, especially if you got like 5, even if you're only doing like a 4-day trip, like I think if you're staying on site, like take advantage of your resort. All the resorts are great. So try to do a pool day and try to get there early so that you can maximize that time and make sure you have a chair.
All right, so we got to talk theme parks because we got about 25
I know
minutes.
I haven't even talked about a theme park yet.
25 minutes. We got to talk dining, dude. So we got 25 minutes, so this has got to be the best of the best, so make it good.
Okay, so dining, I got to talk about Hoop-Dee-Doo again. One of my biggest Disney regrets is that I waited a long time to go to Hoop-Dee-Doo. I mean, I'm talking over 10 years before we finally went there. And I love it. And I know you've done it. I think they may have changed the show a little bit in the last 2 years from what I've heard. I think it's a fantastic show. It's super cool. Just like going to the fort. We talked about this a little bit on Wednesday. Like it's just something cool about that environment going over to the fort, whether you go by bus or if you go by boat, which is my ideal way, you know, from the Magic Kingdom over there. It's just a cool spot. But we had an unbelievable table at Hoop-Dee-Doo, and you've seen the photo. Like we're basically on the stage.
You were basically tickling the ivory. You were almost like the secondary right. pianist.
Exactly. Yeah, the banjo and the pianist are like right there. Like I could have just shared the bench with the piano player, you know, and like I could have been playing the low notes while he's playing the high notes. We could have done some dueling thing, you know. But and I have this strange theory on how I got that table. And I think it's based on like a combination of like when you booked your ADR and your party size, because I have to believe I was one of the first people to book that ADR because I was right at 60 days and it was part of like a long reservation, you know, and it was like one of our last days. So I was like 60 plus 7 days, you know, when I booked it. So I had to imagine I was one of the first groups to book it. And they probably said, all right. And my guess is when they assign the seating, maybe they look at the time that reservations were booked. Like, okay, give them table 1.
I think
give them table 2. I could be wrong.
I think you're totally thinking too much. I think it's totally random.
I've done this twice now.
Maybe. I mean, maybe. But I just think that stuff's so random. But maybe it is. I mean, I hope.
Who knows? It probably is random, but I just have it in my head. Like the earlier you book, the better your seat's going to be.
That's how it should be. I hope the world. Yes, I hope the world works that way. But I don't
want someone. Like, well, Scott said, and I booked at 60 plus 8 days.
No, that'd be awesome.
I was in the far back.
That'd be great. I know, seriously, because if I did it, that's exactly. I'd be like, why am I in the corner of the balcony facing outside?
But I will tell you. So we've done Hoop-Dee-Doo twice, and it's just been the three of us. I really want to do it with some friends. Like, I think it'd just be totally a hoot and hollering time with a big group. I mean, because I see all the other big groups in the audience and they're just having fun and hollering. Both times I've done it, the server is like a magician. Like, my beer is never empty. And he started me with 2 of them. And then he kept giving me 2 at a time. I'm like, dude, what are you trying to do to me here?
He's magic because he's going to get that tip.
Yeah. Well, the tip is already in. You don't even.
Oh, that's
the thing. You prepay for Hoop-Dee-Doo and. You know, the gratuities included. It's weird. You're done with the show. They start cleaning up the tables and you just, it's like cruise line. You just like get up and leave. It feels so weird.
Yeah. That's true. But, like a state room.
What you do is great. We'll talk about the parks a little bit.
Yeah.
My favorite time of year, Flower and Garden Festival at Epcot. I just love that festival. I know everyone has a favorite, right? It could be food and wine. It could be like the holidays, or it could be Festival of the Arts. Flower and Garden for me, maybe it's because our first trip was in March during Flower and Garden, but Epcot it never looks more beautiful to me than during Flower and Garden, especially the early, like May Flower and Garden is a lot different than March Flower and Garden. I think, I mean, March is just so, so beautiful with the flower beds and everything. And when they added those food booths a few years ago, it just upped that festival even more. Cause I think the food offerings are even better for Flower and Garden than Food and Wine.
I'm with you. It's strange because it's called Food and Wine. So you'd expect, and maybe it's my palate, but I don't know. Like, I think that it's at least as good during Flower and Garden, the food and the samplings. Yeah.
So those are great. You know, we love doing those scavenger hunts, even our 16-year-old daughter, you know, driving. And like, I know we might push it a little bit. I think she has fun too. And she's such a champ because we take a photo of her with every, like, it's the spike pollinating thing or whatever. So like, she gets the map, she puts the sticker on, we take a photo of her next to the spike. And like this time of year, we've done this a few times because we've been there over Easter. They have the Easter egg hunt too. So we did the Easter egg hunt. Like, it's just fun. I think it's a fun way to tour roll showcase, especially if you've got little ones. It just keeps them engaged, something to look for. And you can even do it without buying the map because you can just like look for the things. You don't have to have the map or the sticker. So it's just a fun thing to do. Like, I like those, Mike. I don't know how you feel about them.
I mean, I haven't been down there a whole lot during that time except for like during print, you know, during races and stuff. And, you know, I just like just walking around. Epcot never looks more beautiful, you know, with all the, especially like we've said this for years on the show, is that when you come from a place like Missouri or Michigan or any place where you have the cold weather and, you know, in February or March, like you've been in places where it's been brown for literally 4, 5, 6 months. And you go down there and you see all the beautiful flowers and you feel the heat on your skin. You see the sun, just that. And then you get the great snacks, great foods. And plus, I mean, live entertainment too, that goes on during this time. Did you see any?
So great.
What about live entertainment? It was something that stuck out for you while you were down there. I mean, whether it's like, you know, just Mariachi Cobra, those stuff
are
great. Like that.
We spent some time in the UK and watched that band like back in that little garden area in the UK. So we just happened to be there at the right time when the set was starting. I was like, hey, Liz, Em, let's watch this. And so they introduced themselves and then they started like, I started hearing this instrument. I'm like, oh my God, are they about to play Baba O'Reilly by The Who? Like, sure enough, like, boom, boom. Like, it's just like rocking out. Like, it was so loud. And it's funny, like, it is so loud when you're back there in that garden. But like, if you're on the Promenade, like in the UK, you could probably still hear it. But if you're in like Canada, you probably don't even hear it. Isn't that like amazing? You know, you got this loud rock band just like jamming out in the UK, and then like a pavilion over, you don't even hear them. Like, it's like Disney magic.
It is cool how they built that. Now, I will say, back in the day with Off Kilter, again, old, and we've been there forever. Yeah. You know, we've been going forever. Now, with Off Kilter in the evenings when they would rock out on that stage, like you would hear them across the way in Mexico because their stage faced the Promenade.
Yeah.
And I think that was intentional, right, to draw you in, because the times they played were usually – they didn't play as often. And I think they wanted to draw that attention over to Canada, because think about it, Canada didn't have that much going on.
They didn't.
And that would get them over there. Yeah.
Yeah. So I love that. Speaking of Canada, we watched the film. We tried to make sure we watched all the films this trip. Obviously, you know, we watched Impressions of France, but
oh my gosh.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So caught the films. Like, I like that Canada film. Like it, and it was funny. Not funny. It was kind of sad to me. We're watching it and about halfway through, half the audience left, which like kind of bums me out. Like maybe they just didn't know what they were getting into, or maybe they had somewhere to go, but like, it kind of bums me out when someone like commits to watching a show and I don't know everyone's circumstances and then they leave. And then it gets to the finale where they start singing like, what is the song? Like the Canada
Far and Wide, I think.
Yeah. Far and Wide. Yeah. They start singing that song. Then everyone left. I thought they must've thought the video was over. It was just the three of us left in that theater for the last 4 minutes. Like, cause we liked that song.
They're worried maybe that they became Canadian citizens if they stayed, like, and they lost their citizenship to their home country. I don't know.
We're just looking at each other like, why did everybody leave? Like, I don't know. Like, and I know that stuff happens. Like, and some of these shows are longer. They didn't know what it was actually going to be, but
I'm 100% with you. Like, I understand. Like we talked about this, unfortunately, if you heard the replay on yesterday's replay of Sunday night show, I mean, your kid has a blowout in test track, like bail, dude, get out for the good of the cause, please.
Well, you have to, yes.
Leave immediately. I don't care what show it is, but you know what? I mean, unless it's like an emergency, like, dude, hang, you know what I'm saying? Like, just wait till the end. It's not the worst thing in the world. You're on vacation. Like, don't
impression
don't
de France is the worst for me because you're sitting in a chair, you're comfortable. Right.
And it's the best attraction ever.
Amazing soundtrack, this great visuals. I give people the stink eye.
You should.
When they like walk by me, so like, and I have to like move my legs, do a little shuffle, you know?
I'm
ready to trip them.
I should not have said that. I did not mean that, but they deserve it. No, just kidding.
But anyway, so that was cool. There's a couple, I could go so long. There's a few things I really want to talk about. So we talked about Easter a little bit.
Yeah.
One of my big things was got to see the Easter Bunny. Mr. and Mrs. Bunny come out for Easter at Walt Disney World.
Hang on, let me give the... It's about to get salty. Go ahead.
I love seeing Mr. and Mrs. Bunny. And we've seen them a couple times. Like, and we've like kind of like coordinated outfits, you know, so we can like look all Easter-y with them. It's just a cool thing to do. So we're at Magic Kingdom. Oh, I think it was like on a Wednesday or Thursday. And they're not like in their normal spot. Like at the front of the park, like kind of by like City Hall or whatever. Yep. I'm like, well, why aren't they there? They're not here anymore. I'm texting Beth. I'm texting Ricky. I'm like, where's Mr. and Mrs. Bunny? Are they not here this year?
Ricky.
And
then we need to know at DisneyWorldAfterAll.com. Where's the bunny?
Yeah. And Ricky's like, yeah, they're there. And then like Beth shows me like the times. I was like, oh yeah, I should have looked in the app. Like we were searching the wrong thing. Like it was weird. I put bunny in, but it still didn't pop up as anything. You just had to go to the character section of the app and they were listed there. I'm like, oh sweet, they're kind of by that gazebo where Tiana normally is, you know, in Liberty Square.
Yep.
So we're in Starbucks. I tell the girls like, well, I'm just gonna walk over there right now and get us in line while you get the drinks, you know, because it's probably gonna be a little bit of a wait. I get over there and the line's like cut off for like that hour window or whatever, and I'm like, oh, you know, I really like, I'm hot, you know, we were just going to be here really quick to see the bunny. Like, we're going to have dinner coming up. I think this is the night we're going to Hoop De Doo, actually. I was like, let's just come back. You know, we're doing Keys to the Kingdom, which is, I want to talk about briefly too. On Friday, we'll come back. We'll do it after Keys to the Kingdom. So Friday comes, we do Keys to the Kingdom and I'm ready to see the bunny. And it's the same situation. The line is already like cut off or whatever that hour window is, or that half hour window is they're going to meet. So I'm like, well, it's going to be another hour till they're here, but I'm willing to just sit here and meet with them. And Liz and Beth and Emily were like, whatever, Scott, if you really want to see Mr. and Mrs. Bunny, we'll hang out. I'm like, and you guys can sit on a bench somewhere. I will just stand here in this line.
You
like,
are committed to the Easter Bunny. You want to make sure he comes and visits you.
And there's already a couple people doing that. There's a person like sitting in the front, just like reading a book, you know, waiting, you know, and then like a couple more people. So I just stand up there behind them. And then people start standing behind me. So now you got this huge line that's happening. And mind you, the people that are already like in for this time period hasn't even like started yet. So like there's like two lines almost. It's like it's chaotic. And you've seen that area, right? It's very congested.
It's basically the old smoking area from years ago.
It's very small. So you got like a line of people that are like in a roped off. And then you have this new line forming for like an hour later, basically. And a cast member just comes and she seems like overwhelmed. She's like, I just want you all to know that this is not a line. Like you're standing here, but like this is not a line. Like Mr. and Mrs. Bunny, like we already have a line for the 1:30. They'll be back at 2:30, but we can't start a line yet. I'm like, so I kind of look like, what about these people like that are already here? Cause she was kind of looking at me when she said this. I'm like, what about the people in front of me? She's like, well, I'm just telling you, this is not a line. So I get out. I'm like, whatever. We're just not going to see Mr. and Mrs. Bunny this year. But then, like, I look. There's, like, 50 people that were behind me. And they're just, like, standing there still. And they, like, refuse. Like, no one is listening to this poor cast member. So just get the visual. There's, like, 200 people in this small area waiting to see Mr. and Mrs. Bunny. It's so congested. No one knows what's a line and what's happening. And then, the cast member, people are asking the cast member, like, well, when can I get in? You know, like, when will you start this line? She's like, it won't be until this time or whatever. So then all these people start huddling up. Like, Mike, I got scared. Like, I got scared that there's going to be some fights that are going to break out because people that are waiting a long time in a fake line are going to get cut off by some person that just shows up, you know, like 5 seconds before they actually open the line. Like, it got dangerous and I had to remove myself
Well, see that, that's where they almost have to have like, and again,
a virtual
there's no
queue?
Good answer, but like a virtual queue or like some kind of like tickets they hand out to people. And like once the tickets are gone, like, you know, like a physical, like piece of paper or something, like once these 50 things are gone, dude, you're out. I mean, just see ya.
I think they have to, like,
cause I mean, you're right. I mean, people are going to hang out cause they want to get the picture because like this person may get a picture and then I might not. And I really want this, but if you have like some kind of physical thing like in hand and you have 50 of them and once you exhaust those, you can like fit, people can physically see, look, dude, that's it. You know, like go on your way.
Yeah. I don't know how they solve it. I thought the virtual queue and
our virtual queue,
you know, I'm not the biggest fan of virtual.
I'm not either, but you gotta do something.
But it helps if then you just know, okay, I'm not seeing the bunny, but like, it's not fair. Like if you planned on it and you wanted to see the bunny, but like, I don't know what you're supposed to do because I was willing to wait. Like
yeah, right.
An hour
yeah.
In a line, but they told me I couldn't form a line.
But then other people like, are, and if everybody else hangs out there in that area, and then you see them get their shot, then I'd be mad.
I'm a rule follower. Right. I didn't want to just
I'm
like
the same way.
I didn't want to stand in this line where a cast member
because they
said,
told you not to. Yeah.
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 But then it's not fair to me that other people are just going to break the rule and do it.
100%.
I just wanted to talk about it because it was just chaotic, and I felt bad for the cast member, to be honest, because like people are getting like hostile, like. And it's just to see the cute Mr. and Mrs. Bunny. That's what's crazy, Mike.
The Easter Bunny's going to cause a riot, for real.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things, too. It's a temporary meet and greet, right? So that's where I think you just have, like, little, like, slips. You know, for virtual sure. cube or something. But anyway, okay, so we got that.
But that day, we did Keys to the Kingdom. And I won't go into all the details of that, but I will just say, highly recommended for especially listeners of the show. We're all big Disney fans. If you haven't done it, highly recommend it. I know there's many different tour guides, so some of them might approach, so it could be different. So if you've done it before, maybe you should do it again because like they might do a little different storytelling. Like our guide told us that they have like a former like Secret Service guy or whatever that does the tour. So he focuses a lot about like security when he's doing the tour, while he was like very like Walt, like he loved Walt. So he focused a lot about like on Walt and Roy like during the tour. It was kind of cool. So you get different perspectives based on your guide, but a lot of it's going to be very similar. And even as a big Disney fan, as we all are here, like on the podcast, like I knew a lot of the stuff they talked about. Right. But it was still like very cool for me. Like it was cool to see the things that I saw, that most day guests do not get a chance to see. The way that I just love the passion behind our guide too. Like they were so into it. Like you can tell they're very passionate about sharing like the windows on Main Street and just all the storytelling that we did as we went around the whole park of Magic Kingdom. It was just one of the coolest moments, just spending that time, like learning about Magic Kingdom, learning, I say in quotes, I mean, I heard a lot of it before, but it was just really cool. And like seeing like the other guests, like reaction, we got to do two rides, which I thought was cool. Felt like a VIP when we just kind of showed up and like went on Jungle Cruise. That was pretty neat. That, you know, it was like a 65 minute wait and we just showed up and did it.
So you did Jungle Cruise Mansion?
We did Haunted Mansion. Yeah. And then we had lunch at Columbia Harbor House, which is pretty cool. So it was really interesting getting there. I wanted to talk about this because we were talking about you know, getting to Magic Kingdom early for like early entry and all that. So we had a car. But we're like, we're going to take the bus to Magic Kingdom because it's just easier than having to like park at the TTC and all that. So we take the bus, we get there super early, wait a little bit for the bus at Coronado. I got my Barcelona lounge, you know, croissant, because that's the only thing that's open early in the day. So we're eating our breakfast. Bus gets there. Met a nice listener, I think from Ohio they were. So hello, if you're listening, it was awesome seeing you on the bus. Nice. You know what I'm about to talk about. And all of a sudden the bus is like going very slow and it's stopping a lot. And we're like, what's going on? It's loud because we're all like standing. It's a full bus. And you can kind of hear the bus driver like, rrr, rrr, rrr. Like, I can't quite hear what they're saying. And then someone like puts up their GPS and you can see like it's just red, like all over. So there was an accident on like World Drive and no one was going anywhere, basically.
No.
And we're like, holy cow, we have an 8 o'clock Keys to the Kingdom tour that we paid for. And we're trying to get there early. I mean, we're trying to do everything right. And like, we're just stuck. So we're like, how do we even let them know? Like, we kind of like assume that they might know because other people might be in the same situation, you know? So we try to find this phone number that's on the reservation. It just takes us basically to like a service, like a call
like
center.
A call center,
And they didn't know. Like, it was like some sweet older lady. They're like, oh dear, like I'm so sorry about that. Like, have you tried this? Like, Like, I can see that. I can see the toll booths. We're stuck on a bus.
Yeah, we're stuck on World Drive.
Yeah. So like, eventually, like we went around like Grand Floridian Way to like get around the back way in, and we finally got there. But all we kept thinking about was like, man, the people that are staying like at monorail resorts are having a day in Magic Kingdom right now, because those are probably the only people that are in the park, because they didn't have to take a bus, like, because no one was getting there. Like, it didn't matter what direction really you were coming from, unless if you're maybe coming from like the back end, like where like some cast member areas are, like,
yeah,
you weren't getting the Magic Kingdom very quickly because of the accident. So I just want to talk about that. Like, that was crazy. And you can prepare so much. You can like plan to come so early, but sometimes like things happen, like accidents, and your plans might not go according to plan. Anyway, we rushed in, we're like booking it. Like, we said goodbye to our friends from Ohio as we're like speed walking, you know, we're trying to get in there. We get into, it's like right by like Tony's restaurant is basically where the check-in is. And they're like, ah, are you so-and-so? We've been waiting for you. And we're like the last group. Like, they're about to start the tour. Like, I think they would have put us like on the 8:30 tour, to be honest. But like, they're like, oh yeah, ready for you. And then like, they had to see our IDs, because they had to see Emily's ID to make sure she was 16. And then like, right then we had to decide what our lunch was, Mike. It was crazy. And like, it was not your normal Columbia House menu too, which I thought was kind of interesting. It was like, I'm trying to remember what it was even. I think we all got chicken tenders and french fries, basically. Yeah. But it was like, you looked at this menu, you told them what you want, you told them what to drink, and boom, they gave us our headset, and boom, like, we were like on the tour. Like, we had like no time to relax. It was like Amazing Race stuff, kind of. It was wild. But it was an awesome tour.
I do love that tour, because I've done it twice, and even if you're a huge Disney fan, it's just cool for the access utilidors, just getting the little nuggets backdoored into attractions. It's awesome. But yeah, I mean, those things happen. I mean, it's out of your hands. You just got to kind of just roll out of your hands.
And that's why I just got to tell everyone, like, you just got to relax. Like, I know it's not going to be a full vacation killer if you just show up a little bit late, but it can be frustrating, right? Because you did everything right. You know, you got to the bus early. You know, you're on that first bus to the park, you know, you're going to be there early, and then just things just happen. You just got to roll with it when you're at Walt Disney World. Things like that happen. And when it's all said and done, you're not the only one. It's happening.
That's
to
everybody, true. That's know? True. So let me ask you this. Okay. Cause we got about 5-10 minutes. So I know. Well, cause I mean, the thing is, you're going to be back on. We do Sunday night. We can talk even more.
Yeah.
Best meal of the trip.
Ooh, best meal. We had some good ones.
I know, because you always have awesome meals.
I talked to you
live
from one at Be Our Guest.
That's like, right. That's really, or maybe most surprising. You know, something surprised you weren't expecting. Maybe it was that.
I'm gonna go with Flying Fish, because it's been a long time since we've been Flying Fish.
Because we never talk about that either. That's good.
So, kind of a cool story. We added an extra night onto our trip because our friends Jody and Tim from Ohio were coming. Their spring break started a week after us. I guess we could have flown out of Ohio, Mike. That could have been another option, maybe. For the
could have flown out of Kansas or Nebraska. You know, hey, yeah, we'll stretch the limits. Louis. Exactly.
Yeah. Hang out with you for a little bit first. So it was kind of funny. Like, we were going to be leaving the day they showed up, which was kind of a bummer. So we added on a day, and they at the end, and they added on a day at the start. So we were able to spend some time together. So that worked out pretty good. So our families met. We went to Flying Fish. Our friends, the parents, their son was in town. Yep. So we invited him. So shout out to Owen. Yep. Thanks for joining us for dinner at Flying Fish. And it was just cool. It was a great meal. I think I went with a steak, which is weird because I had a great steak at Narcoozie's the night before too. But I just really wanted to try their steak. It was so good. Liz got this like red snapper that was delicious. Like, the appetizers, the drinks, the company. It's just cool restaurant. I think that's a signature you have not been to yet, right, Mike?
I've not been there. Flying Fish, my family will not eat seafood, and it's got fish in the name of the restaurant. It's a signature.
I know, so and that was like two. Scared, but you can do non-fish things for sure. Someday. I know it's hard for them to get, but it's a cool atmosphere. I love the service was great. And then with the beautiful thing about that too is that we wanted to go to Epcot and like hang out a little bit, watch some fireworks. So boom, we could just like walk over. It was a great way to finish off our trip with the fireworks, Impressions de France, all that good stuff. So shout out to Jody and Tim and family. It was great to see you all and all the listeners. I had a few listeners come up to me. Like, that's
it is awesome.
It still blows my mind, Mike. I know, like, it's awesome that you had me come on the show. I know we're like best friends, you know, so it's fun talking Disney with you and like going on these vacations with us. But it is something wild, man, where you're just hanging out and like someone says, hey, are you Scotty G? Like, it's so cool.
It is. It still blows me away. We do this forever. And we got the Discord now, the clubhouse, and we got people, you know, join us from all over the planet. We're talking all the time. But, you know, people come up in person on a trip and it's still awesome. I love it.
And I just want to tell everyone, I love it. So like
me too.
Like, you heard me today. Like, I haven't let Mike say like five words today. I love to talk. I love meeting new people. It's like one of my favorite things to do is just learn about someone else and their story. So always me and Mike, I know Mike's the same, man. We are so approachable. Like, we would love to like just chat with you if you ever run into us. So
let me ask you one question as we wrap, because again, the good news is like, you're always going to be on here. We do every Sunday night, and you know, we always rotate kind of the panel here now. So this trip though, I kind of teased this earlier in the show, like the crowds were light early, but then they got intense towards the end. Like the crowds grew. Cause I mean, I was talking to you and you're like, ooh, man, yeah. You know, it got crazy. So how did you adapt as somebody that was vacationing down there? Because I think this could be important for somebody that might be going down over Christmas. You know, maybe they arrive or Thanksgiving and they're like, oh, you know, we got lucky this trip. We're not going to have big crowds. And then all of a sudden, day two, day three, man, wait times, insane, you know, busy. And I don't want people to think their trip is ruined. Like, how did you, you know, make changes on the fly to still have a great vacation, but you know, the wait times were high and you still wanted to have a good time. So you still had a good time at the end of your trip, but you had to kind of make changes. What would you say to folks?
I'm glad you called attention to that. Yeah. Cause like that Saturday and Sunday, like, I don't know what was going on. The crowd seemed pretty good. We're like, oh yeah, this is going to be great. Then Monday we went to Animal Kingdom. We're like, oh my God, all the people are here.
Like, not your favorite park, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. I know. It was kind of unbelievable. By the way, I saw the lion roaring at
that was a cool
at
video.
Animal Kingdom on the safari. Sweet. I'd never seen that before. It was so cool. So you do have to adapt. And we talk about the strategy of like, get there early, midday break, come at night. And that's kind of what we were doing. We're taking advantage of the early entry, which is harder for my family these days because we've done this so many times. Like, we want to just kind of relax. Plus, you'll hear where we're going. We're closing down the park every night, basically. So it's hard to like close down a park and boom, come back early the next day. But we try to take advantage of that early entry and that paid off. You know, you get two or three attractions done before the park gets really busy. And my daughter, I know every family is different. My daughter now at 16, Mike, says, if we do three attractions, it was a good day. That's what she says.
She's wise beyond her years.
Yep. Uh-huh. So like, at Animal Kingdom, we did the safari, we did Navi River Journey, and then we did Everest. And then, like, we saw, like, all the crazy crowds. She's like, Dad, we can leave. We don't have to do a single thing the rest of the day. We already hit our three.
Quote so, a net.
Not necessary for everybody, especially if you're at Magic Kingdom. But what we did, Mike, how we really adjusted was closing down the parks. Like, we were dedicated to, like, you know, let's have, like, our dinner at 5 or 6 o'clock, and then like, let's just go like 7, because Magic Kingdom was open till 11, I think, every night. Let's just do Magic Kingdom 7 to 11 every night, you know, like, let's just be committed. And you know, and I know, like, Magic Kingdom at night is so much fun. Like, I agree. Just like, you feel like a little kid again, man, when 100%. You're there. You're just bouncing from attraction to attraction, like, just having the time of your life, really. And we had so much fun, and that's what we did. Like, that's how we adapted, and we got so much done at night. We had to give up some firework viewing time, you know, because like, everyone kind of like wants to watch the fireworks. So a couple times we would just watch them from Big Thunder or whatever, like away from like the madness. But it helped us because then, boom, we could just jump right on Big Thunder right at the fireworks and it'd be a 10-minute wait or whatever, you know. So going at night and just closing the parks helped a ton. And it did at the other parks too. Like, we watched Fantasmic twice. I forgot to talk about that. My daughter, Emily, just loves Fantasmic. And one day, we were at a resort having dinner and we're like, hey, there's a second showing of Fantasmic. Should we just go over there? So we just went from dinner. We're at Olivia's. That's what it was. We're at Old Key West. And we just drove over to the studios just to close down the park to watch Fantasmic. And awesome.
That's vacation, right? I mean, it's like dinner and a show, you know, it's an opportunity for dinner and a show with your family.
And I'll tell you, if you can make the second showing work, like, that's great. So we did both. So we did the dining package, and which is the first showing. And, you know, you get there early. They put you, like, in the center with the dining package. And as you know, that arena, I call it arena, the stadium, whatever you want to call it, like, fills up. Like, it was full. And you had to wait there a long time, usually, because you get there early because you want to get a good seat and whatnot. The second showing, Because, like, I mean, they had to turn that thing around quick, which is kind of unbelievable that they do that, right? Because there's so many people that watch that. There's popcorn everywhere. They got to clean it up. And then, boom, they're letting people in for the next showing. And there's not as much time in between there. So, like, if you can make it work, I think the second showing is the way to go. It's going to be less crowded. You can, like, space out a little bit. And, like, it still has a great energy. And it's an awesome show. And it's just less people. So if you can do it, I would recommend the second showing for sure.
No, I agree. I've done the second showing and you're right. It is, you get a little more elbow room because
yes,
everybody crowds for the first show. I mean, because they want to do that and kind of bounce.
And what's cool, like, and it's after the park is closed, really.
Yeah.
So like,
it's like definitely
you're
last
giving
thing.
Up like part time to do the first show. I mean, I'm not saying giving up because I think Fantasmic is awesome. Right. I know it's Pam's.
I know what
favorite.
You're saying though. It's a trade off.
Yeah. So if you do the second show, then you got to do like two or three more rides. Maybe. Mm-hmm. Well, not two or three, but you've got to do a couple more rides maybe. And then you still get to watch the show after the park closes. Like, that's just the way to do studios.
A good strategy would be to do like Rise of Resistance during the first Fantasmic show, then go see Fantasmic second show.
It's perfect.
A good chance.
I highly recommend that.
Something like that.
So all in all, it was a great trip. The crowds were busy, as you said, but we made adjustments. The weather wasn't too hot, honestly. I was talking about the pool. Like, sometimes like you felt cold in there, but I just love spring break, Flower and Garden. I say this after every trip. It's just like, man, that was the best trip. But like, I tell you, Mike, man, it felt like the best trip. And maybe it's because we knew we weren't going to be coming till Thanksgiving. Like, I know 6 months that's kind of crazy to think that's a long time, but it kind of can be a long time for my family. We'd like to go, you know? And it just sparked this excitement for us. And we're so excited to come back for Thanksgiving because we just left with a great taste in our mouth. Like, we just love Walt Disney World. It's so great.
I love just following along and loved hearing about it today. And the good news is Sunday night, if people have questions about the trip, give us a call. We'll talk about it even more on Sunday night. So 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, give us a holler. It's you, me, and Scotty G on the BOGP open line. So we'll be on the air taking your calls, and you have any questions about the trip, that's the time to, we'll just add you right into the call and we'll just keep the trip report going, Scott.
Love it.
All right. Don't forget, our show is brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. We'd love to help you plan a great trip just like Scott's. You want to go to Coronado? We can help you out with that. Any other resorts as well, even Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, Adventures by Disney as well. Just swing by the website today over at the Magic for Less Travel. No additional cost to you. You get lots of little good booking bonuses as well. Also, I forgot to mention, we're always hanging out in the clubhouse. It's the BOGP clubhouse. It's our Discord server where we have channels for all the destinations, Disneyland, Walt Disney World theme parks, Walt Disney World resorts, dining. We talk dining all the time. I mean, we were talking about, should we go to Chef Mickey's on our next trip? Should we go over to Ohana for the Stitch breakfast? I mean, it's so much fun talking with our listeners 24/7. All day. We have some crew that comes in the morning. We have some night owls that come in at night. We have folks over in Europe that come in 2 o'clock in the morning, our time. But hey, we check those out in the morning when we get up. It's fun. Hang out with us. It's brguestpodcast.com/discord. We'll be seeing you over there soon, right now, hopefully. Also, don't forget our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. If you could use that when you shop online, that really helps us out. And our Patreon supporters, you guys are our all-stars. You guys make this happen. Just $5 a month. You can join us over there as well and support the show. You'll get a bonus show every week if you do that. It's called Mike in the Midwest, and we'd love to have your support. So coming over this week, we talked about give the Utopia out of Disneyland some love. Don't be mean to it. It was cutting edge back in the day, and it's still pretty cool. Scott and I had a good time out there in 22 when we had our first trip. I mean, it was fun. it's not a bad
Utopia trip. Is great.
I
mean,
do like it.
Not that like jump into the closing here, but no, it is awesome.
It is.
And it's a Genie Plus attraction, so you got to do it.
Yes,
like, if you're doing Genie Plus, like, you have no excuse not to do it.
It's a good filler attraction. You can get it anytime on Genie Plus. Like, you know, waiting for to ride the subs, boom. You know, or you want to ride, you jump off the monorail over there in Tomorrowland, that station that nobody ever uses. Whew, right
and
there.
I know I talked about Magic Kingdom at night. Disneyland at night is the same way.
Dude, it's
so
the
magical.
Best.
And Autopia at night is so much better.
Yes.
Like, it's just... me and Mike were riding partners, man. We were having a blast.
Absolutely.
Doing this. It's so much fun.
And then mobile order your Gibson girl and your night's perfect.
Yep, exactly.
I'm just saying. Anyway, we got to get out of here. Follow Scott on the social media at @fscott. You know where to follow me, be our guest Mike at all the places, and we'll see you on Sunday night. So until then, you guys have an awesome weekend. Thanks for hanging with us this week. We love doing the show. It's so much fun. So until we get back together again, you guys stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.